This is Bea Arthur, and you're listening to the Be the Change podcast, sponsored by Sonos. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Bea, and I want to change your life. Welcome back to Be the Change, where we talk about all the things that you can't talk about with your friends. Today, I am so excited to talk with my very special, excellent, expert sex therapist, Cindy Darnell.
Hey, girl.
Nice to see you.
And that's so good to see you. I saw this woman speak at Spring Studios here in Lower Manhattan, and I just came out of my shell. Like, you know I'm very shy, right? I did. So I had all sorts of questions. I'm like such an introvert. It's true.
Really?
No, obviously not. I'm literally on a talk show. Yeah, no, but like you had so many great insights, and I like to think of myself as like pretty open and fluid, and I'm also a therapist, but like you blew my mind, and so I had to have you on for this episode, the sexuality mentality. It's something that is super, super, super avoided in most conversation, especially in American conversation. You are from Australia, so tell us your story and tell us why you're so awesome.
Well, I guess the first thing to recognize is that whether somebody is a therapist or a doctor or some kind of health professional does not mean that they have any knowledge of human sexuality. Most therapists, doctors, nurses, physical therapists, all those folks, they don't study human sexuality. But interestingly, they're often the first port of call that a lot of people go to get sex information from people who have no idea what they're
such a good point.
So it's true. Yeah. So when you're the reason, I guess, that, you know, you were perhaps dazzled by my presentation is not because that's not my therapeutic training. That's my sexological training. And I have trained widely from clinical academic level through to esoteric and practical practices too. And I've been in this field for 20 years.
Wow.
So the knowledge that I have gathered over this time comes from science, but really it comes from having worked with thousands of people around the world in American contexts, but also across Europe and Asia and Australia, obviously, where I have been able to synthesize that wisdom and synthesize that knowledge into little kind of pots of commonalities that are part of the human experience of sex and pleasure. And most of what we tend to think about sex, most of what we believe about sex, is not true.
Starting with what? Wait, you see why she blew my mind, y'all? This is why I love you.
Well, starting with the fact that sex is natural. It's not.
What?
It's not natural.
Get out.
Now, the instinct is natural.
Okay.
That sort of like, that feeling, that's natural.
Lust is natural.
Yeah. But the craft of sex,
the
actual how to touch, how to be with somebody, how to manage the emotions that come with it, how to give and receive pleasure with intention and meaning, that's not natural. That's like learning to cook or play guitar. Just because you've looked at pictures of, you know, of pizza doesn't mean you know how to make one. Just because you've looked at pictures of guitars doesn't mean you know how to play one. You have to be really diligent in your practice, in your trade, in your skill, and learning and experimenting and knowing that you're not going to be good the first, second, third, fourth, fifth time you do it. And also, when I talk about doing it, I'm not talking about penis in vagina sex.
What?
I'm talking about the capacity to actually be with somebody and touch like you mean it. No, most people don't know how to do that.
Wow. Okay, so I don't even know. I have like 18 different follow-up questions.
Go.
We don't know how to do it, and that just means...
Well, not everybody, but the vast majority of people don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
But it's not because they're defective and fools. It's because no one's taught them, and they've never been taught. If we do get sex education in school, it's how to make a baby.
Yeah, and or nobody, how to not make a baby.
That's nobody who has sex to make babies.
Right.
Who does that?
Who would do that? Who would do such a thing?
That's not why people have
idiots.
Sex,
you know? No, it isn't.
We pretend we do our children and ourselves a disservice by pretending that that's what the motivation for sex is. Babies are a byproduct of some sex some of the time.
Right, exactly.
But that's not why people do it. And so that's one of the fundamental frameworks that we need to redress here is teaching sex and talking about sex in meaningful and useful ways, not in rhetoric that doesn't have any relevance to anybody almost ever.
Wow. Okay, so thank you so much for that sermon. That was indeed a word. And so where do we go from here? You're right. When we first met, I was just like, yeah, I feel really strong about this. I'm from the great state of Texas, which has recently lost its mind. And they were one of the first people, I mean, they've been losing their minds, but they were one of the first people to shut down sex education, teach abstinence-only education, which is, to me, a crime against humanity.
It is. It's a form of abuse.
It is a form of abuse. Why would you want to set somebody up
if
like that?
If you don't teach people how to take care of their own bodies, who am I allowed to swear?
Yeah.
Who the fuck's gonna do it for them?
Preach, speak on it. You know what I'm saying? It is a public health issue.
It's insane.
It's really bad.
Literally insane. The good news, though,
it's kind of like a weapon. Like, if sex is a weapon, you're a danger to yourself and others.
Really?
If you don't know about safety, sexuality.
And I will often describe using, you know, and teaching the importance of teaching sex and pleasure. You know, really everything I teach is embedded in pleasure. Like, we teach children how to monitor electricity. So we teach children not to touch the electric switch with wet fingers. We teach them not to stick a metal fork into the
exactly.
plug because, you know, bad things are going to happen. Now, does that mean that electricity is bad?
Mm.
It means that this is a very powerful force
right.
that we can use to illuminate our homes and cook our food and keep us warm and bring us a lot of joy.
Yes.
But if we use it the wrong way, it will fuck us up.
Yes. See, that is the fear. It should be the opposite.
And so we have to teach people right. sex in this with the same reverence that we
yes.
teach people about electricity.
Yes.
It's not the electricity that's dangerous. It's how we use it.
Exactly.
We have to teach people that sex is this incredibly exquisite, powerful force that we all have access to, but we must treat it with respect.
That's my time, y'all. I don't have anything else to add to that. I just want to keep asking questions. So, yes, because this is really wildly irresponsible on behalf of parents, right? Because people say it's not the school's place. Fine, but parents aren't doing it. And so now guess what? Nobody knows the difference between consent. Mm-hmm. Everybody, there's all this, like, college rape. Nobody knows. All these babies or all this herpes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, we should revere it. And, you know, when you get older, you do have a lot more respect. You're not doing it for the right reasons. And I also think, again, if it is a public health concern, if the motivations are coming from the right place, from a respect and understanding, there would be a lot less rapes. Like, you look at somebody like Donald Trump, like, he just takes it, and so you know he's not good at sex. Mm-hmm. Like, if guys knew how to stroke it out, if guys knew how to, like, really that would be provide more pleasure than just dominating a woman.
Exactly. And there's also, I mean, you know, the whole rape thing is quite a different issue altogether. You know, there's overlap, but it is a different issue. That said, those sort of kind of lusty, powerful, carnal urges about, you know, dominating people and all that kind of stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And I guess I want listeners to really understand this is not about watering yourself down so you're like this lukewarm, tepid, you know, milky tea. You're allowed to be robust and powerful. In fact, it's helpful if you are robust and powerful when playing with sexuality. But when you're going to play with it, those feelings of sort of wanting to dominate or wanting to surrender will come up. And this is where we need to learn how to use these, I call them energies, these powers.
Mm.
We need to learn how to use these to bring us joy, not to make us feel bad or to cause harm for other people.
Yeah.
But we can't even get close to any of that stuff if we can't talk about it.
I just should have just brought an applause track because... And so this is now officially Cindy the Change, sponsored by Sonos. Because I don't even know what I'm doing here. So yeah, you're right. So I have a master's in psychology, but it's sexology that I should have understood because it's so close. It's just like mind,
they
body,
cross
heart.
Over. They cross
There's,
over.
It's the ultimate subconscious.
Psychology is, you know, psychology is the study of the mind and to a lesser degree, the study of the brain. Human sexuality is you study the body, you study spirituality, you study, you know, ethics, connection, communication, you study culture, you study gender, because sex crosses over into all of those things. It's individual and it's also cultural. It's, you know, it's an opportunity for healing and it's an opportunity for cathartic release. Sex is, I think, one of the few things that we all have access to that, again, like the electricity, it can heal us and it can destroy us. We are behooved. We don't have a choice.
Hmm.
We have to learn how to manage these powers within ourselves.
Yes.
You know, we were born with them. we have to learn how to manage them. And that's where this whole natural versus unnatural bullshit comes from.
Yeah.
When people say, oh, it's natural, you just know what to do. You don't know what to do. People hurt each other all the time. They don't mean to,
right,
but they do. And this has to stop.
Oh, I want you to run with Liz Warren because I know you have a plan for sexual power, respect, pleasure, the matriarchy, probably.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All
you two
of those
would be
things.
A really good team.
All of those things.
Well, this is great. So, yeah, so that's one thing. Men need to be responsible for their part and learn more about the women's bodies. Mm-hmm. And women need to learn about it, too. And so
women need to up their game, too. This is not just about dudes doing all the bad things. This is a co-created thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you know, men have power. Women also have power. It's different. Neither better nor worse, just different. And how we have been socialized, whether we're men or women, or increasingly people who are non-binary and transgender, these folks are also included in the narrative that helps us understand, you know, why do I have sex? What is my intention? What do I want to mm-hmm. get out of this? And people sometimes get upset when they hear me talk about sex like that. They're like, oh, that sounds very transactional. And to a degree, sex is transactional because, again, it's not based on love. Love is a motivator
mm-hmm.
for sex for some people some of the time.
Right.
But we know, look at Tinder, we know that people also don't have sex just for love. That's one of the reasons. But there was a study done several years ago on why people have sex, and they came up with 234 reasons.
Really?
Love is one of them. Babies is one of them. But they're not the primary reasons. And so, again, we have to get used to this kind of uncomfortable truth that what we've been told about sex is lies. People don't have sex for love, and they don't have sex for babies. There's a lot of reasons that they do it, but love and babies are not the primary ones. And so when we can go into our heart of hearts and find our truth or truths, there might be more than one, about why we have sex, what do we want to get out of it? And you know what the most common reasons are among the folks I've spoken to over the years? Pleasure, connection, and validation.
Hmm.
Right?
That's the name of our band. It just came to me. I'm like, how can we stay in touch forever? It's the same thing, baby, but it's in the subconscious.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to get all your information for everybody because you do do sex education. And I always thought that this should be online for all the kids.
I run online classes.
Yes.
And I do private consults with individuals and couples.
And if you're
in New York and online.
Yes. And if you're a responsible young adult or teen who does not have sex education or has abstinence-only education, check out Cindy's site. Like, you'll learn a lot. It's not just about herpes and babies, as she said. So, again, so kids need to do their part. Actually, let me stop there. Edit that out. Guys need to do their part. Women need to do their part. And we're very happy to help a woman on the line today who's come to us for help. And just before we get started, even though Cindy and I are both therapists, this is not therapy. This is just a confidential call-in show. There's no identifying details about our caller today and about our caller. To know a person's true self, I believe you got to know their fake Insta. So, caller, welcome to the show. Go ahead and unmute yourself and tell us what's your Finsta.
Hi. My Finsta is Alexa Lamera.
Oh, my God. That's the best one so far. That name goes with my outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really very thoughty. Fabulous. I have to wear a thought cloth. Alexa Lamera, God bless you. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Cindy and I want to change your life. How can we help?
Thank you so much. That was awesome. I love that whole intro was already so helpful.
Oh, good.
My question today, which I think is like super applicable to a lot of people, is about pleasure and stress.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of stress and responsibility in my life, and this is the first time I've ever felt like it's just closed down my body.
Yeah.
I'm not able to access pleasure, and it's all kinds of pleasure, but specifically sexual pleasure is like a really big source of stress relief for me. And when I'm not able to access it, it's like I'm in a cycle, right?
Yeah.
So my question is like how to kind of break out of that cycle, knowing that there's stress that like just right now, if I'm realistic, can't be mitigated. All of it. How to start accessing pleasure again, specifically sexual pleasure, but really all kinds of pleasure, and access my own body. I loved what you said about penis and vagina sex because I'm not even at that point. I'm just like let's just get to arousal.
Damn. I feel you, girl. Yeah. First of all, I'm sorry for your loss. But we're going to get it back because I have been there. It sucks.
Yeah.
It's just a pause. It's just a
new person. Of course. Yeah. So let's figure out why,
And so, I mean, it sounds like you've you understand the situation. It is a cause and effect situation. You're under a lot of stress and your body is saying to you, no, can't play anymore. Is that right?
Sorry. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Okay. So can I ask you a couple of questions just to get a little bit of context? How long has the problem been around?
Really just for the last few months, I would say maybe like 2 months, but just to put some context, like normally this is a really big part of my life. So
sex, like, you mean, is a big part of your life?
Sex is a big part of my
life. It's a noticeable absence.
Yeah.
That's tough. Yeah.
Okay. And are you partnered currently?
No. So I normally like go on a lot of dates or like have like casual like people that I hang out with.
Okay. And
Alexa,
do you masturbate?
Yeah, I do. That's like also a huge part of my life.
Okay. And so that's where you're noticing that there's still no pleasure there.
Yeah. It's just like, I'm like, oh, that's not even going to.
Yeah.
I can't even access it. So like there's like a frustration where I'm just like,
So I hear you when you say, you know, I'm not getting any pleasure. What do you feel when you're touching yourself? What do you, if it's not pleasure, what are you noticing?
Honestly, anger.
Okay. And where do you feel the anger? Where in your body do you feel it?
Really just like all over. It's like anger and numbness.
Okay. So these are really common responses, not only to stress, but this is also your body giving you information about what's going on. So the reason that this is happening to you, and I guess I want to reinforce for you that this is temporary. This is not a permanent state, but this is your body taking care of itself. Okay. And when your body is in protection mode, when your body is feeling like it's under attack because of the stress that's happening in your life, it's effectively doing what it does best. It's trying to protect you from further harm. Does that make sense? Mm.
Yeah, so like pleasure is a measure of thriving and my body is in survival.
It's not even about it being a measure of anything. It's more that your body, your brain, as distinct from your mind and your body, your brain is having a stress response. Yeah, are you familiar with the concept of PTSD?
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens then is that the brain perceives that there is a threat when there may not actually be a real threat there, but the brain and the body respond as if there were a real threat. Does that make sense? So when you go to touch yourself, what used to be a place of pleasure and relaxation, now your body is responding with fear. And you said anger. So that suggests to me that there are some experiences that your body is processing. And, you know, because of the nature of what we're talking about here, I don't necessarily need you to go into too much information about that. But to more have a little bit of empathy for what your body is experiencing and recognize that pushing through and forcing your body to do something it's not wanting to do right now, and this might change next week, but something it doesn't want to do right now is it's sending you a message. So my question to you, my darling, what do you think that message is? What's your body trying to tell you?
I think it just can't cope with, like, I mean, I just don't think it has the reserve to do everything that it needs to do right now.
Okay. It's saying to you, give me a break. Mm. It's saying, back off. Just let me chill out for a minute. Mm. So do you think instead of pushing and pushing and making yourself be like you were a couple of months ago, what might it be like if you were to surrender to what's happening and let it wash over you and wait for the new dawn to come rather than forcing your body to do things it's telling you it doesn't want to do today?
Yeah, I think that's where I've been at. Like, I just don't have the time to even try and do it. Yeah. So that's kind of where I've been at, just not really trying.
It sounds like your body is taking care of you right now.
I like that. Because I've been there. Alexa, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, you went out for a second.
So what's coming to mind, and what are you noticing in your body as we're having this conversation? Alexa.
Hey, yeah, I'm still here. Yeah. Sorry, it's like hard to process this. I don't know. I think that makes me annoyed because I'm an impatient person. So
and you're experiencing anger anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm noticing what I'm seeing is like what I'm doing. So I kind of have to laugh at that. But if I'm honest about what I'm observing in my like gut self, I'm just like, what?
Mm-hmm.
That's not. You know what I'm saying?
Like, and so here's the thing:
it's so hard to have a solution that's just not do anything. Oh my God. You're somebody who's so impatient.
Exactly.
Right. And this is the lesson. This is the lesson here. Your body is telling you you got to change the game here.
And also, what's wrong with having a goal that's to teach yourself how to rest? You know, not resting is what got you in this place of overwhelm. Mm-hmm. Rest is a requirement.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's like
that's not the answer you want.
It's not that. It's more like what I'm expressing is like I'm understanding what you're saying, and the conditioning that I'm working against is that productivity is worth, no part of life is separate from that for me. So if productivity is touching on a deep core belief. So it's like what I'm observing is like my gentle, like loving brain is like, oh, that's right. Like that's absolutely. And then what I'm seeing is my like core instinct from conditioning and probably from PTSD is like, but productivity is worth. But like, where's the
productivity is worth your orgasms, girl?
Yeah, and I mean, because in did you grow up in a Western country?
Yeah,
right. So all of us who have grown up in Western countries are brought up with that notion of you've got to achieve, and everything's about goals, and you know, particularly in the US, it's a very strong value here, which is great at work. It's absolutely the opposite in the bedroom. It really is. And the bulk of my life's work has been teaching, you know, very successful, powerful, you know, corporate people that the strategies they use in the boardroom don't work in the bedroom.
Wow.
They just don't. Because being able to surrender to your body and to connect to pleasure is everything that searching and pushing and striving and goal-oriented approaches is not. And while, you know, when you realize that you are not the boss of your body is the boss of you, you will actually have a better chance of getting back to the place you want to be.
Right. That all makes sense. And I'm not defending that idea. I'm just kind of recognizing that that's what I'm working against.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, it's very vulnerable to say that those are the beliefs that are in that I'm working with.
And thank you for sharing that with us.
With my best interest. But I was just like, wait, judge me.
No, I didn't. I hope that didn't come across as judgmental.
We're therapists.
That was not about judgment. It was simply the fact that, you know, if you grow up in a Western culture, as I did, as you did, this is what we're conditioned with. So all of us have these struggles. It feels like it's just you.
Right.
But I can assure you it's not just you.
It's me too. And let me tell you, we talked about this on the prep call. For women, for most people, sex happens between the ears before it happens between the legs.
It happens for dudes like that too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You see it all the time. So yeah, this is no judgment at all. Like this is a very normal experience. Yeah. And also just when you're experiencing the resistance, we don't mind. We don't take it seriously. Mm-hmm. This is all anonymous for us. But just remember that resistance is the opposite of feeling. You know, like the anxiety is resistance to feeling. So if you're feeling feeling angry, if you're feeling annoyed about it, like, just like Cindy said, you know, like, the body is the only thing that doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. Listen to it, allow it. And that's what you made a beautiful point earlier, that if you, pleasure comes from thriving, and if you're in survival mode, you can't get there, mm-hmm. you know? And so you know the truth deep down, you know the truth, you know, your body just wants to chill. And it's the simplest thing. Just mm-hmm. like you're saying, the urges will come back mm-hmm. if you allow them to take their time to get there. It's just like an orgasm.
Yeah. Right. Right. It's just a different part of my brain that I'm using like most of the day. And I just need to let it not be in that same category.
Yes. And that's a really hard thing to practice. And it is a practice. It's like yoga or, you know, painting mm-hmm. or drawing or anything that you do on repeat to get better at it. Good sex is a practice. Mm. It really is. It's something that you do. And even not in just sex, I know that you're saying that pleasure in general is something that's a bit out of reach for you at the moment. Things that you can try is like when you're eating meals, to slow down and actually allow yourself to taste the food in your mouth rather than just sort of gobbling it down so you can get back to work. When you're taking a shower. So these are things that you can integrate into your day rather than separate practices that when you, especially if you're busy, you're like, oh, I don't have time to do separate extra things. Integrate them into things that you're already doing, taking a shower, instead of just mindlessly sort of washing yourself and getting in and out the door and going to work. Allow yourself to take those moments in the water to actually make those connections with your body and feel the water on your body. And when you're washing your hair, feel your fingertips on your scalp, massaging them, and just see if you can make those kinds of mind-body connections in those very subtle ways. Eating and showering.
That sounds hot.
Even, you know, just anything that you do that's really basic, you know, right. Going to the bathroom, which sounds a little bit strange, but when you're taking a pee, stop the flow of the pee, find those muscles in your pelvis, stop the flow of pee by squeezing those muscles and releasing them a couple of times, just to start making a mind-body connection to that part of your body again. These are all practices that you can incorporate into your day without having to do anything extra.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Actually, the most pleasure I've been getting is just from, like, eating.
Uh-huh. Good. Okay. So that's still pleasure. I mean, the mouth is so incredibly sensual. That's why kissing is so amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, you don't have to kiss your food. That might be a bit
kiss
too much
it.
For some people.
Make out with it.
But allowing yourself to really...
I don't want to limit myself.
Allowing yourself to really enjoy the flavors and the textures and
you
the
are
sensations.
Close to the surface. Your orgasm, you'll be just fine, friend.
Yeah. And this
I'm
is
like,
also...
I'm not going to promise anything.
This is also temporary. Remember that. This is not a permanent
thing. It is.
Thing.
Like you
this,
have to know that.
It feels, you know, like you're in a
rut.
Yeah, you're in a rut right now. But this is temporary. This will not last. And... allow yourself to remember that this is just a moment in time.
Aww.
Yeah, this is super helpful. Thank you. I think it just like eliminates a lot of the places that are very difficult to talk about and look at.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And listen, you know, talking about sex is hard. Talking about pleasure is difficult. And when we can acknowledge within ourselves how much, you know, the stuff that we believe to be true about ourselves and culture, this is what I was saying to B at the start of the call, or the start of the recording, that so much of what we've been told about sex is not true, yet we all believe these lies. I mean, myself included, I have to remind myself that, you know, so much of what comes up for me in those impulse moments is conditioning. I have the benefit of having many, many years of education and experience to navigate my way through it, but a lot of folks do not. And so part of this practice is in recognizing that things that we tend to go to as knee-jerk responses to sex problems are usually based in things that are not true.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I think even just like noticing my response to sharing something and then like not and then feeling vulnerable about it and being like, don't judge me. Like, why would I ask you in a sense to give me input? Mm-hmm. And I just noticed myself defending things that like don't need to be defended because they're not serving me.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Thank you for saying that. Because honestly, we don't care. And that happens in real life and therapy too. People are like, it's like, it's not, we're literally here to help.
Yeah, yeah. There's no judgment. There's no judgment in, ever. I mean, and sex especially.
Yeah, girl.
Is such a complicated topic that most, like I was saying earlier, most folks have no idea how to navigate this stuff. No idea. So you are absolutely in the majority with your experience. True. And you also have resources to help move you through it. So it feels really yucky right now, but I promise you it's not going to last.
Thank you. Yeah, this is like really helpful. Sorry, it's very loud.
Oh my, that horn is so horny and happy for you.
Yeah, they're celebrating.
I'm telling you, girl, you could be back. Send us the after picture. No, just kidding. Well, we really hope. Was that helpful, Alexa Lemaire?
That was really helpful. Yeah, very, just really good reminder to me, and really helpful to hear it from both of you with the experience that you have.
Good, I'm like, glad.
You know, it's easier when it's on the outside and you can talk about it.
Yes. Aww. Yeah. Talking about sex is one of the best ways to heal any of the pain that we carry, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being open with us. Our audience certainly appreciate it. We personally appreciate it. And we wish you many happy comings and goings.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Bye, Alexa Lemaire.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, girl, we did a good thing today.
Hooray.
We helped so many people. Yeah. That, it's so interesting how she was this like, oh, this is hard for me to admit. And like, literally, we hear this all the time.
All the time.
And so that's the thing. Listeners, believe me, like whatever you're going through, a lot of people are going through. You don't have to feel ashamed. Just talk to somebody who gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to somebody who understands. Obviously, Cindy knows this whole universe. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
I don't know all the things, but I know most of the things about sex. That's definitely my wheelhouse.
That's a flex.
So, yeah. Don't ask me about rocket science. I don't know anything about that.
Or Boris Johnson. What an idiot.
Boris Johnson. I was watching the Reuters news this morning. I don't know why his hair's always like that. But then again, look at my hair. But really.
Your hair looks much better. And you're just a better person. So.
See?
Yeah. See, now I'm going to kill everybody's boners. But yeah, I love what you said about like going through. And it's true. If anybody else at home is going through that, you know, if you're in a rut, just court yourself. That happened to me last year. Mm-hmm. Like after a really bad breakup, I was just kind of like going through this terrible dry spell. Like I went like 11 weeks. And that's like as long as I've been like a sexually active adult, it's never been that long. Mm-hmm. And it was just like so miserable. And like, and I didn't like anybody. And I can't fuck somebody I don't like.
Right.
And I didn't like anybody I was meeting either. So it just stayed stuck. And finally, you're right. You had to slow it down. I would just spend a long time in the shower. Like, you have to court yourself. Take yourself on dates. Go slow. Like, ease into it. Because you're right. If your body's not ready, it's not going to happen.
No. And I think, you know, especially when I work with women who are like, you know, I've got this blockage. Sometimes I would actually say in 100% of cases, actually, blockages are messages. They're not blockages. They're messages. And blockages are there to teach us stuff about what's going on for us. That doesn't mean that we can just sort of say, oh, well, no, I've got this thing. My body's saying, no, I'm not going to try. But pushing through a blockage can be dangerous because the blockage is there for a reason. It's there to protect you. So part of the healing process is around addressing, well, what is it protecting me from? What's going on? What is the vulnerability that is hard for me to access? So trying to remove the blockage with absolutely no idea what's underneath is potentially, you know, pain making.
Yeah.
Whereas working with the perceived blockage, if we call it that, from a place of curiosity and compassion, we'd start. It's like an ice cube in a tunnel. You know, it's blocking whatever flowing through. Sexual energy is like water; it flows through. It'll find a way to get through.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a blockage, it can't get through. But that blockage, like an ice cube, will slowly start to reduce as you warm it up, and we warm it up with compassion and kindness.
That's a really good one.
And then the water starts. The sexual energy is the water that starts moving through the tunnel again, and we start to get feeling. But if we just pull that ice cube out and let the water go rushing in, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
We're going to shut down. We're going to flood ourselves.
Going to drown. Wow. Right? That is so good. Thank mm-hmm. you for making that point, because I really had a lot of compassion and kindness for Alexa, because I'm certainly identify as a type A. I definitely, for me, progress is the ultimate, the only antidepressant. Right, right. So I get where she's coming from. Yeah. Like, oh, what? I'm just supposed to do nothing?
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, there is nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Except that when it comes to sex, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
In the corporate world, go for it. Knock yourselves out.
Exactly.
Don't apply the principles of the boardroom to the bedroom. They don't work.
No, but even with the ice cube thing, I think you could apply that to any blockage in your life. Mm-hmm. Like, pushing through is never going to get you there. Mm-hmm. It'll get you, maybe not in the right mindset, you know? So this is great. Oh, God, I love you so much. Aww. We're going to have you back. We're going to do this again. Well, y'all, thank you so much. Welcome to Be the Change, the family, and Cindy the Change. Because literally, I'm going to listen to this episode forever and ever. I learned so much. So thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
How can the people reach you? How can they learn more?
My website, cindydarnell.com, CYNDIDARNELL.
The black eye way.
And I'm on all of the social medias under my name.
What's your real Insta?
My real one is Cindy_Darnell.
On Insta. Okay.
On Insta, yeah.
Great. And are you active more on IG or Twitter? Or?
I'm actually most active on Instagram at the moment. That's my main thing. And I've got an online course coming out in a couple of weeks called the Desire Series, and it's for individuals and couples who are experiencing problems in activating and rekindling passion and desire.
Perfect.
So if folks are interested in that, they should get on board with that.
Oh, I love it. I love you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Welcome.
This is fantastic. This is a really great Power Hour. For your own Power Hour, make sure to sign up at The Difference. Connect with amazing therapists like Cindy. This is the Be the Change podcast, recorded at Sonos Studio in New York City. Thanks for listening.